All right. If you would, I lazied it around, didn't write the page number down, so we'll find it. Mark chapter 5, verse 36. Mark 5:36. We'll be reading out of this New King James tonight. If you have your own, it probably read a little different, but should say the same thing. Amen. Mark 5:36. We're going to talk about trust tonight.
Page 41.
Trust. I think of that song, Trust and Obey, and I thought about singing it, but there again, I figured everybody'd leave. We wouldn't ever get around to teaching a word. So, you know, trust is something we have to earn. Amen? You have to earn that. And not only that, we have to learn that we can trust somebody from the other side of that. As I've said many times, when you go to sleep, and if you've ever run team, and that first time you climb into bunk with the other person driving, I don't care who they are or how long they've been driving, that's a little iffy. And I can count on one hand how many people I know that I'd run team with, you know, and I'm just picky, I guess. My wife always says it's a shame nobody can drive as good as you can. I said, well, you notice that too. But at any rate, amen. Come on in. Trust. Mark 5:36 says this. As soon as Jesus... Well, let me preface this a little bit. This story in Mark 5 is about, and you've heard it many times, you've been to church very much, about where the little girl was dying and the father come and found Jesus to go pray for her. In the process of him going to his house, this woman with the issue of blood, one version calls it, the woman with a severe bleeding disorder, stopped the whole procession by simply touching Jesus. Remember that? Touched the hem of his garment. She was instantly healed. In the process of this, then somebody comes from this ruler's house and said, forget it, your daughter's dead. Basically, forget it. Too late. How many knows it's never too late for God? Yeah. It's never too late. We're praying for a son that we've been praying for a long, long time to be born again, but God's word hasn't changed. Amen? So that gives me hope and faith. And every now and then I hear one of y'all give me a testimony of something happening in your life, and that increases my faith, you see. It's never too late, though. In Mark 5:36, it says this, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, this is the word that came saying the daughter's dead, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. One version says, only trust. What do you believe in tonight, drivers? Mr. and Ms. Trucker? What do you trust in? Who do you trust in? We trust a lot of man-made stuff because we go down the road and hope it'll stop. Right? We trust in that. We were talking with some older hands, and I like Larry because he can remember trucks older than I can. That makes me feel better. We was talking about the old days before maxi brakes and how sometimes you mess around, leave it out of gear, and come back and the air leaked off and it's gone. It done went down the hill. Happened a lot of times way back then.
That's not that far back.
Yeah, well, this is true. It's not. We're not that old, are we? But we have to learn to trust things and trust people. We have to learn to trust God. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you think about it now. It's easy to say, you know, Jesus is my Savior, my Lord. You know, God is my Father. But do we trust Him? Totally, unreservedly trust Him. Like I said, just like when you go to bed behind the driver. That's trust. I sleep with one eye open in those cases. But anyway, and over in 2 Samuel, we don't have the Old Testament in here, but in 2 Samuel 22, the story about David, where David said, God is my refuge. He said, God is my strength, my refuge, my fortress. He totally trusted God. Now, if you know anything about David, he was not exactly the Class A Christian type guy. But then neither are you, and neither am I. Nobody's perfect. Amen? But now, in that, let me say this, in that, You know, that's kind of a cop-out, and a lot of people use that for cop-out, to do what they want to do and say, well, nobody's perfect. We may not be perfect, but God expects us to grow in our faith and grow away from habits and things. Talking with a driver on the way across to I-16, I'm thankful for cell phones and thankful we're finally getting enough signal we don't get cut off every second or two. But I talked to him about 30 minutes coming across there. And he's a new born-again Christian. He's a guy probably about my age, which is ancient, but he hadn't been long got saved, and he's working through this process of learning about God. Okay? And that's exciting to me. He said, I hate to bug you. I said, you're not bugging me. This is what I live for. You know? And he was going through the situation of, you know, Satan throwing his condemnation and junk at us, and he's learning to trust God. And what I've told him from the beginning is, It's about faith, not about feeling. It's faith, not feeling. I've been married 39 years last month. Praise God. I give God all the glory, and I'm thankful for my wife. But I'm going to tell you, we don't wake up every morning feeling in love. Our love goes beyond feeling. It's commitment. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Now, these guys back here have been married longer than that. Because I was at their 50th anniversary, I know. And that was 10 years ago. No, it wasn't that long. But you learn to trust one another. And we have to learn to trust God. David had figured out in that story in Samuel, David had figured out, I can trust God. He's never going to fail. He's my deliverer. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. And again, we're reading out this New King James Version. Tell me what you think about it sometime when you're way out of time. We're
page 190.
Page 190. Thank you. Let's start at verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. We simply walk by faith, trusting God. Follow his direction. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. Now listen, many a time somebody will come up and talk about the Bible. And, you know, if you get a religious group real quick sometimes around a truck stop. Because my first question is, are you born again? If you're not born again, you're not going to understand the Bible. You're not going to understand it because we will try, as human beings, we try to apply logic to God's word and it don't work. He's pretty illogical sometimes, isn't he? I mean, you know, when you take somebody who's been healed, anybody ever known somebody personally that was supernaturally healed by the Lord? There you go. And see, you can't explain that with logic, right? I love to hear the doctor's report say, all I know is, here's what it was and we don't know what happened. There's a driver that was prayed for, and this happened years ago at our Weatherford Chapel, Weatherford, Texas. And he had just got a prognosis out on the West Coast that he was dying. There wasn't nothing they could do. It was cancer, just terribly. And he stopped back by there, saw the chaplain walking into the chapel, and he thought, you know, I'm dying. I need to get things squared away here. He had never been a religious man, as he called it. He had never, you know, mess around with church or anything like that. But he got to thinking, hey, they told me I'm dying. He had his x-rays with him. He had retired military, and he was on his way back to Pensacola, Florida, to go in the hospital there to just try to slow it down. There was no hope. Nothing, they said. And after the service, during the service, he gave his life to Christ. He became born again. So somebody in the group, one of the drivers that was there, said, and he shared his testimony, you know, I'm on my way home and here's the situation. He said, do you mind if we pray for you to be healed? Why not? the guy said, you know. I'm dying, why not? So they prayed for him, the drivers and the chaplain, of course, prayed for him. He didn't hear no thundering and lightning. He didn't feel nothing. Got in his truck, went on home. But when he got to Pensacola, and they did the test down there, there was nothing. Nothing wrong with him. They even called back where he brought the x-ray from a military hospital out in the west somewhere, trying to say, hey, something's wrong here. He said, no, something's right here, as a matter of fact. God had healed him. Now, everybody we pray for don't get healed. But God's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. Amen? He knows what's best. We think we know, but he always knows what's best. And the gospel, he says, Paul says here, if the gospel or our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. Who is the light? Who is the light? Jesus, right? Christ Jesus is the light. And he says here, the God of this age, who is that? Who's he talking about here? The God of this age. Anybody know?
Satan.
The devil. He's the God of this age. He's the God of this world. Notice it's a little g God. Notice that. He's a little g God, I call him. He ain't so tough. But he is the God of this age, of this world, because we gave it to him, so to speak. We as mankind. Jesus took his authority back on the cross, conquered him once and for all. That's how we got our sins paid for. So Jesus is the light of the world. Let's go on now. Turn over with me to John chapter 12. Remember, we're learning to trust. So trusting Jesus, now we find out that not only he's our Savior and Lord, he is the light of the world. We want to look at that a little bit here. In John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36, I believe is what we want. John chapter 12, 35 and 36. Then Jesus said to them, here's Jesus with his disciples, and he knows he's about to be crucified. And, of course, he knows the end from the beginning. He knew what was about to happen. Wasn't no surprise to him. He said, verse 35, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. He's talking about himself, right? Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtakes you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, or trust in the light, one version says. Believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. I like to read things like that. Every now and then, he just disappeared practically. You know, they come to get him or something, and it wasn't time yet. He just, we don't know where he physically disappeared or just, who knows what. He was God. He can do anything he wants to. Amen?
Yes.
But here he's talking to the disciples, and he said, while you have the light, verse 36, believe in the light, trust in the light. Now, we have the light through the Word of God. You know, the Word and Jesus is the same. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So therefore, the Bible and Jesus is one and the same. So when it says the light, he's talking about walking in the light while he was there. We have the light through the Word of God, but we have to study it. Just like the driver I was talking to on the phone. That's something that, see, I don't know about you, but my hardest job is studying. But I don't like to sit still long enough. If I could do it while I was moving, I'd be better off. Like coming over here, I was playing it on my CD. That's all right. I can handle that because I'm moving. I'm doing something. But to sit still, and I know it's good to kneel and pray, as we're taught to do, but I have to walk and pray. I like to be busy. I'm out walking in the yard or walking somewhere. And if I'm at a truck stop, I'm walking around and around the parking lot, getting exercise and praying. And praying over the drivers there and all that. But, you know, I want to walk in the light. How can I do that? By studying the Word of God and seeing what His job is for me. What do you want me to do? What is my job? Did you know that this is my personal belief, every born-again Christian is called into the ministry. Every born-again Christian has a ministry to do. Now, obviously, mine's not singing. I get told that all the time. But whatever I can do, I want to do it for the glory of God. Amen?
Yes.
Now, you drivers, man, what a ministry you have. We have, what, 5 drivers in here tonight? And there's probably, what, at least 100 trucks sitting out here. What does that tell us? Say, just with those numbers, there's 95 that's not in here. Amen? But now those 95, you will come in contact with. Loading docks, restaurants, whatever. Are you prepared to minister to them? You say, how do I do that? All you got to do is study this word and pray on a regular basis, preferably every day. God will show you what to do when time comes.
You're like the illustration you used in one of your texts about being a preacher.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
And that is what she's talking about is, you know, people tell me they're not a preacher. And what do? Just take the P off of that. What have you got? Reacher. Every born-again Christian can reach someone.
You're right.
Amen. And better yet, the greatest sermon, heard this from a rather famous speaker, but the greatest theological message, the way he put it, that's ever been preached is Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's all you need. Because if you can say Jesus loves me, this I know, you're not talking about something you learn, you're talking about something you know. This driver asked me on the phone a while ago, do I believe the Bible's true? I said, no. I know it is. It goes further than belief. He said, I wish I could be there. And I said, You will. He's going through what I call a flushing process. And you may be here too in this place somewhere. Thank you, Lord. We'll do that. Turn to Romans 12. This wasn't part of it, but it will be. Romans 12 on page 170. Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is part about trust, I guess. It will be tonight. Just an added feature. What I'm telling you about is I was telling this driver, you're going through a flushing process. In the fall of the year, check our antifreeze, right? Sometimes you open your radiator and it looks like bleh in there. What does it need? It needs to be flushed out. Our lives get clogged up like that radiator and needs to be flushed out. And the only way to do that is open that petcock and let all that mess run out and start running clear water in there. And you might even have to put some flush in it, run it a while and all that. In other words, the more dirty it is, the more flushing it's going to take. Amen? Does that make sense? Well, God's got that too. Look in Romans 12. You didn't know that radiator flush was in the Bible, did you? I call it that. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now watch this, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. But be transformed by what? Help me out. By what?
The renewing
of your mind. Notice the ing suffix on that word. Renewing. That tells me that's an ongoing process. That your mind in this world is never, pardon the grammar, but it ain't never going to be renewed because of all the garbage we're around all the time. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, you're sitting in a restaurant totally defenseless, so to speak, and the music's playing on the PA system, so to speak, and there's garbage in some of that music. Now, I'm not talking about acid, metal, rock necessarily. You know, I was born and raised in the South. Country music's part of my heritage. But I don't sit around listening, tonight the bottle let me down, you know. I'd rather listen to Love Lifted Me. But you see what's happening, even though I'm not paying it attention, it's going in my ear, right into my spirit. And if I let that go on and on and on and on and on and not put the Word of God in there, guess what's going to happen? It's going to slowly but surely break my spiritual walk down. I didn't say I was lost. I said it'll break my walk down with God. And it'll certainly get me where I won't witness to nobody because I'm not filled with the Word of God. So it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove, watch this, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If your mind is cluttered, if your life is way out of God's will, there's no way you can sit down and read this Bible and get what He wants you to get out of it because you cluttered up with other stuff. A lot of times I pray before, I just say, Lord, my mind's going in 1,000 directions, you know, working in the ministry, and it's all about, it's probably all about God's work, but it's not about God's word. So I have to say, hold it, right? Shut down. Let's stop all that. And I'm going to focus in God's word. Renewing of the mind is totally necessary to grow in the Lord. Now turn over to 1 John. Little John. Over close to the back. 1 John should be on page 251. First time I had the same Bible, I'd call the page myself if I was real smart. See, I'm sharp as a marble. Sometime. 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. I love it. In Him is what? Light. No darkness. Let's go on a little further. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Can't be on both sides. Got to decide. One guy asked me one time, what do you do with us fence straddlers? I said, I got a good statement for you. And he said, what? I said, there's not any fence. You're not straddling anything. You're either for God or not. You're either serving God or serving the devil, one or the other. I didn't say you were devil-possessed now. I said you're either serving God or serving the devil, one or the other. It's our choice. I wish sometimes that God would make me do what's right. I wish that He would take out the choice, so to speak, from my life sometime, because I make the wrong choice sometime. Don't you?
Wouldn't be a trial then.
That's right. Or we wouldn't grow. We'd be robots. And that's why one of the reasons that God created man to start with is to have somebody to have fellowship with on a voluntary basis. The angels worship God all the time. We could say 24 hours a day. Well, it's all day in heaven. But they do nothing but worship and praise God all the time. And that's great. And we will join them doing that when we get there. I am. I can probably sing when I get there.
You can.
I'll have a good voice at last. But He wanted somebody to fellowship with Him because they want to. You can't make anybody love you, can you? Somebody said on Red Skelton show one time, he said, you can't buy love. They were talking about some movie star with millions and millions and millions of dollars. He said, you can't buy love, Red Skelton said, but that much money you can rent it. And he's right. You could rent it. In other words, some kind of false. It's not really there, is it? It's not really yours. So we need to learn how to totally trust God, how to totally walk in the light as He is in the light, because He is the light. Now we have to unclutter our mind, and you can only do that with the Word of God. You got a wonderful opportunity too today with the technology we have. You can get the Bible on cassette, on CD, even hear it on the computer online. Why don't you just get that? Invest in that sometime. And as you're going down the road, and better yet, when you're asleep, when you go to sleep, put it in there and just let it play. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing. Not by reading, by hearing. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved. Not just read, study to show yourself approved. He goes on to say, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing, one version says rightly handling the word of truth. But if we hadn't learned to trust God, we really don't trust the word. I have found out that this cannot fail. It's literally impossible for this to be wrong. You believe that?
Sure.
It's absolutely 100% correct. First Baptist Atlanta was many, many years ago. I studied some under Dr. Stanley. And many years ago, they was raising big bucks. I think it was like $50 million they had to have. I forget the number now. It was an awesome amount of money. And they were going to do it outside the budget. It had to come in above and beyond their budget. Long story short, my fleet manager at the time was in this meeting at First Baptist. And he said one of the deacons asked Dr. Stanley, what are we going to do if we get into this program and can't quite make it? In other words, since you said it can't come out of the budget and we can't get it all, what are we going to do? Said he looked at him, Dr. Stanley turned and looked at him and never even blinked an eye. Said, I never make allowances for God to fail. Think about that. There isn't a plan B. Amen?
Yes.
I mean, he's saying, we know God led us to do this. We know this is the direction God wants us to go through. Therefore, it can't fail. As long as we're doing what God said, when he said to do it, it can't fail. Think about that. Let's learn to trust him to the point we don't plan a backup. Now, we're all humans, and we have a tendency to do that. Just in case he don't, we'll do so-and-so, right? We shouldn't do that. If we know God led us to do it, then we know it's going to work. Amen? It can't fail. God doesn't fail. Let's go on now. Where were we? In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It doesn't say if we're all Baptists, we'll have fellowship. Doesn't say if we're all Catholic, we can fellowship. Doesn't say if we're all Pentecostal. What does it say? If we walk in the light. In other words, if the Bible is my source and not my denomination. Now, I'm a member of a denomination, and I'm thankful to be there. But that's not my source, okay? The true source is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. He says, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Listen, if our denominational differences keep us from fellowshipping, we're in bad shape. Yes. We're in a world of trouble. You know that? And I've noticed when I was on the road driving, and some since then, if we sit down to talk or fellowship over coffee or whatever, being Christian, we're going to meet and eat. You know, we got to eat if we meet. That's just the way it is. But if we sit down to fellowship, shall we say, and the first thing out of your mouth is, what church do you belong to? I got a problem. I know we got a problem coming. Most of the time, that person wanting to pick an argument. They really don't care where you go to church. They want to see if you're different from them. In fact, one told me I messed up and mentioned the church I go to, and he said, well, we can't fellowship. We're not of the same faith. I said, are you born again? He said, yes, I am. And I said, well, we are of the same faith. We're going to the same heaven. And if you keep on like that, I'm going to ask God to put me in the mansion right next to yours. I can be very irritating. No, of course, in heaven, I'll have to be nice if I get there, but... No, seriously, though. You know, we don't need to let our penny any difference. You guys, you, Mr. and Ms. Trucker, need fellowship on the road. The one thing we hear that need the most. By the way, we're designing a little decal right now that the ones that want to can get one and put in the sight vent window. We're trying to work it where to go in the side vent window just so you'll recognize one another. Just so, in other words, it'll say we support Truck Stop Ministries or something like that. Something, so you see that on the truck, and then you can have fellowship with one another.
Make it big enough for it to go on the side of my truck.
Well, for an owner-operator, we could, but for the company drivers, we have to have something that we can get away with. And, of course, you know, not in the windshield. We know all about that. So y'all help us pray about that. But the one thing I want to do is promote fellowship among each other. There ain't nothing like it. When I was driving, I longed for that. If you come in with a cross, I'll never forget one time I'd been out on the road for quite a while, and I stopped just north of Indianapolis. I'll never forget it. There's a bad wreck happened. By the time I got off, it was a head-on collision just south of that exit. And fatalities, and so needless to say, I'm not pulling out of here no time soon. So I'm sitting there, you know, bored half stiff and saying, you know, Lord, after all, you could have got me past the wreck before it happened just as easy. You know, I know you don't complain, but I do. Here comes this big old truck in beside me, a great big lighted cross in the grill. And parked right side of me. I said, all right. So I jumped out of my truck, run around the door before he could even get out of the truck. And about the time he shut it off, I looked up at him. I said, you're a born-again Christian. He said, no.
Oh, my goodness.
And Mama used to say, my feathers kind of fell. I said, you're not. He said, no, I'm not. I said, can I ask you a dumb question? Why have you got that cross in your grill? He said, I like crosses. Well, good enough. I mean, it's your truck. But you know what happened? I was so curious. We went inside to have coffee or eat or whatever. We got to talking, and he learned about that cross that night. He learned about that cross, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior right there. Here's a guy with a cross. I'm talking about a big one, a cab over Peterbilt, and it was as big as his grill. Tall and, you know, I'm talking cross. You know? And that night, he learned about what happened on that cross. And I said, you see, sir, yours is empty. There's nobody on it because he has risen from the dead. And we went through all this, led him to Christ, you know. We didn't talk about what denomination we were about. I didn't tell him you ought to go be a Baptist or you ought to be a Catholic or you ought to be a Pentecostal. I wanted to be born again. The flavor's up to you, wherever God puts you. Now, we'll help you find a home church if you want to. We will do that. We'll make suggestions because we're not at that church, so we can't tell you. I can tell you one thing. When you get there, you'll know you're home. You'll know because you'll feel at home. They'll make you welcome. Let's go on. Verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, here is the good part. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from almost all unrighteousness. Is that what that said? Almost all unrighteousness? What does it say? It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we do what? What have we got to do? First part of that verse. We got to confess our sins. To who? To the chaplain? No. Chaplain don't have authority to forgive you. Tell him too much, he probably won't forgive you. He's human. He's human. But who do we confess to?
Christ
Jesus. That's right. Now, in along with that confession, we need a little trust in the fact of what his word said. Turn back over with me to Romans chapter 10 now. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. We're about through here. Romans 10, 9 and 10.
168.
Thank you. I usually write it down. I was a little bit lazy this time. I started studying this about 3 o'clock in the morning and never did get back to writing it down. Romans 10, verse 9 says, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising him from the dead, what will happen? You will be saved.
Hallelujah.
Period. period. It don't matter what you've done or not done. Many times, including the guy I talked to on the phone today, and this is not the first time I've talked to him. We've talked to him for probably a dozen times, and that's okay. Many times, like him, he thought he had done too much, that God would not forgive him for everything. But that's not what we read in 1 John 1:9, is it? And here it says, if we confess with our mouth that Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Does anybody in here not believe that? Let's narrow it down some. Do we all believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead? Okay, good. We got that established. Now, verse 10, very important. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. That is, we receive him by faith into our heart, right? But there's step two. This is my opinion, but I believe this is what kicks your salvation in gear. Is this last part of verse 10. It says, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I'm not trying to split hairs with you, but I'm going to tell you something. It's very important for you to tell somebody that you're born again. It's very important for you to confess with your mouth, I am a born-again Christian. Now, you don't have to be a bucket mouth like some of us. I'm a professional bucket mouth, and make no bones about it. We got that new motor home, and it had a sissy CB in it, I call it. One of them little one-piece deal. Took that out, put my Connex 33 in there. We talk. It'll talk. I keyed a mic, the park brake light flashes in the dash. Kind of powerful. And I don't get on it and preach. Don't do that. Don't key the mic and play of religious music. You only make people mad. But CB means Christian Broadcasting, as far as I'm concerned. And you can just pick up your mic at any truck stop. You sit here a few minutes, you may hear some cussing on it. Might. And when they do that, they have just asked me to join the conversation. They don't know that, but they did. In other words, that's a good time to confess Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to get into no argument. Don't do that. Don't do that, because you only lower yourself to their level. But when they use God's last name incorrectly, they're talking about my Father, okay? Sure. They're talking about my Father who let his only Son die for me. That's very personal with me. I've been married to that beautiful woman for 39 years. And if we were walking down the street and you walked up and said, what are you doing with that whore? What do you think I'd do? Just smile at you?
Your Christianity would go behind your hip pocket.
About that quick. As my old preacher led me to the Lord, you say I'd backslide and whip the tar out of him and then get saved if whatever I need to do. But no, seriously.
But that part of it's human nature.
That's right. And why? Because you just insulted my wife, whom I love greatly. Now, imagine this. She's my wife, and that's all well and good. 39 years, all well and good. She has not given her life for me, nor can she. But yet, when somebody uses the name Jesus or God, we just turn our deaf ear to it. What do you think he thinks about that?
Breaks his heart.
It breaks his heart, exactly. He's not going to make us do anything. But I believe if you love me, you'll tell me the truth.
Sure.
It might make me mad as rip at the time, but if you care for me, you'll tell me the truth. In other words, I cannot listen to somebody dying and going to hell without saying something. Now, of course, you got Leroy Brown out there and John Wayne and all them's going to come whip you. All you got to do is not tell them where you're at. Me? No. Big mouth here. Got to tell them. You know why? Because Psalm 91 said they can't touch me.
I've been whipped before. Human, it's the spiritual part of it I ain't worried about.
It ain't no big deal. What we need to do here is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and tell somebody we're born again. Now, verse 13 tells us who can be saved. Who can be saved? Somebody read verse 13 for me real quick.
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
For everyone. Everyone. Anybody. If you're breathing, you're savable. I'd love to tell the prostitute, Jesus loves you just like you are. I love to do that. I love to tell the drug dealer, whoever we come in contact with, Jesus loves you just like you are. Can't go to heaven just because he loves you, but he loves you just like you are. We tell management when we go in the truck stop, we're not here to run them off. Some says, I hope you can get rid of them. No, that's not what we're here for. We're here to get them saved. We're here to see them come to Christ. And then your problem will take care of itself. Amen?
Yes.
That's somebody's daughter, the way I look at it. But for the grace of God, it could be my daughter whom I love with all my heart. I got a daddy's girl that's 31 now. She's somebody else's wife now, but that's part of life, I guess. Come took her away from me. But she was at my house last night. But anyway, you know, I love her with all of my heart. And I'd do anything to protect her. And I look at these women out there and think, but for the grace of God, that could be my daughter.
Yes.
Now, don't get into Satan's trap. Don't get in a compromising situation, but be prepared to witness. No way I'm going to invite her in my truck. Mm-mm. Nope. Don't do that. Because now you just stepped into to the enemy's corner. You just walked over to the enemy's corner of the ring. But use wisdom. Use wisdom and be where you can be seen. But be ready to witness all the time. One last scripture. I want to show you what happens to your sins that now that you're born again. Hebrews 8:12. Now that you've learned to trust God, you've received Christ as your Savior, what happened to your sins? Where'd they go? I grew up hearing about the sea of forgetfulness. I hadn't found that in the Bible anywhere. Not there. But Hebrews 12 tells us what happened to our sins. There's a song a few years ago, the Neelands from Atlanta recorded a Southern gospel song. And the name of it, the lyrics go, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Now look at this, what it says. This will back that up. Verse 12 says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and lawless deeds, what?
I will remember no more.
What a promise. God literally forgets that you sinned. That's what the guy on the phone today was having such a hard time with, because he said, but I remember. I said, well, that's thanks to the devil. Revelation says he's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you and me before God all the time, even though he knows that God knows that we're saved. But that's his job. John 10:10 says a thief comes only to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's only doing his job. We shouldn't expect any less. When he attacks our marriage, I don't expect any different from him. Don't expect any different from that. What you do is put on the full armor of God every morning, and men, you're the spiritual leader of your household. It's your responsibility to do that. Every day, when I get up, I get up first at home. Get my coffee, get into my Bible study time, my prayer time. But part of my prayer time is putting on the full armor of God, buckling the belt of truth around my waist. I even envision it kind of like it's something physical, you know. Buckle the belt of truth around my waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. My feet are fitted, and what I'm doing, I say ours is, Jan and me. Our feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith around about us. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I thank God for all that. I'm supposed to turn that off. But every day, put on the full armor of God. Then, and where that's in Ephesians, what is it, chapter 6, where it talks about the full armor of God, 12 through 17. And in there it says, so when the day of evil come, not if it come. You know, we got to Vietnam, and of course our in-country training. Was anybody in Nam? All right, you look like it. No, I was kidding. first in-country training we got was, this guy I'll never forget, he said, "You're so proud of them marksman badges you earned." He said, "You got a problem over here. These targets shoot back." And for a 19-year-old to realize, these people are going to kill me, you know. Understand, though, in the spiritual term where we're at now, Satan wants you dead, Fred. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your business. And if we don't do something about it, if we don't do what God's Word says, He will. Now, tonight I want to close by praying a simple prayer, because if you're not born again tonight, I want you to have that opportunity before you leave here. You say, "Well, I don't want to." Well, that's your business. Nobody's going to go around and push you. I don't believe in scare tactics. I could tell you, walk out the door, it might fall dead. We all know that. That could happen, but that ain't a good reason to do it. I got saved December 19th, 1971. I didn't give my life to Christ to keep from going to hell. That wasn't even in my mind. I didn't do it to get to go to heaven. That wasn't in my mind. I was so sick and tired of life that I had to have something different. Anything. And I gave my life to Christ. He saved me and turned me around, and that's what He wants to do for you. Now, you say, "Well, I'm born again. I don't need to pray it." You're right. But there may be somebody here that does, and we're all going to pray it together. It's what I ask you to do. Pray it with me. And that way nobody's embarrassed. I don't believe in embarrassment. I don't do any good. If I could shame you into getting saved, you probably, when you got unashamed, you'd quit or whatever. I don't know. You won't make any commitment to Christ like that, I know from experience. What I want to do is close out by simply praying and asking Christ to forgive us of our sins, come in our heart. We're going to do what 1 John 1:9 told us to do, confess our sin. We're not going to itemize them because we'd be here all night in some cases. But all seriousness, though, I want you to learn something tonight, to pray out loud with your eyes open and heads up. Because going down the road is an excellent time to pray. Just talking to your Father. I love it. I've often said, if somebody put a recorder in my truck, I'd be in the funny farm. Because they'd be recording one side of a conversation. You know, I don't think God would show up on there. But you know, I love to ride. I'm doing it today before I got on the telephone, just talking to my Father. Just having a wonderful time of fellowship. Ride across the interstate. It's a great thing to do. You can run more miles than you can ever believe like that.
It's amazing how low you can get on your knees and bow your head while you're sitting straight up.
That's right. What is that saying? No one's ever stood so tall as when he's on his knees. And men, I know about humbleness. That's not a good word for men. But once you learn that, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So tonight, just in case, if you say, "Well, Maybe this fits you. Maybe you gave your life to Christ at some point, but maybe you never really confessed Him as your Savior. Maybe you never really got into it. Maybe sin has crept back into your life. I don't know. I may never see you before. I may never see you again this side of heaven. But I want to see you there for sure." If you fit in that category, if you just simply not sure, you need to be sure. A lot of drivers respond by saying, "I hope so. I think I am." Not good enough. Eternity is too long to be wrong. You think about it. Once our breath leaves our body, once we die, it's over. In a second, you're going to be wherever you're going to be for all eternity. Not a scare tactic. It's a promise, because I can't wait. That means once I leave here, you can't get me back in this mess. I'm with the Lord. I'm with the Lord. Don't you put no artificial junk on me. If I get one foot in heaven and somebody brings me back, we're going to have a problem. Because I want to be with my Lord and Savior. I want to be with my family as long as I can. But I know if something happened to me, I'm ready. I'm ready. I have a longing to go home, that old song says. My daddy and mama's up there, and a lot of other people we know are already in heaven. Man, it's going to be a great time. And won't be long. It ain't going to be long that the trumpet blows and we're all going. That's not an end time prophecy. That's just reading the newspaper and reading the Bible. It's real easy. We're running out of time.